www.attableek.com, the reviver of Iman.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما. إن إذا قضى الله ورسوله كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم ومن كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا. الله أكبر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا أعطيناك الكوثر فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. لا فصل لربك وانحر إن شانئك هو الأبتر. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. صدق الله العظيم.
واه 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 إيمان تابع
Assalamu alaikum, respected sisters, just a few announcements. First and foremost, if we could make sure that we go to the inner part of the hall so ladies coming later on do not struggle to find sitting places. Throughout the program, we request that everybody maintain silence and we keep control of our ladies. the Lillah boxes that are there are for collection for Habibul Quran to maintain such programs, inshallah. Also, we request that when you're leaving, please make sure it's in an orderly, slow way, because there are a lot of ladies, so make sure that everybody is leaving in a way which is convenient to everybody, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله العليم الخبير المتقن النظام العالم بلا معين ونصير فسبحان الله الذي حكمته بالغة وعلمه غزير ونعمه واصلة إلى كل صغير وكبير ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له في نقير ولا قطمير ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله الذي هدانا بكتاب منير ودعانا إلى الله بالإنذار والتبشير صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه ما دامت الكواكب تسير أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وما كان لمؤمن ولا مؤمنة إذا قضى الله ورسوله أمرا أن يكون لهم الخيرة من أمرهم ومن يعص الله ورسوله فقد ضل ضلالا مبينا صدق الله العظيم. Respected علماء, brothers, mothers and sisters, I'm going to take the opportunity to commence my address on the verses just recited before us by Qari Sahib in his very melodious recitation. May Allah preserve him with goodness and may Allah instill the love of Quran in our hearts. إِنَّ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ رَأَوْا الْقُرْآنَ رَسَائِلَ مِنْ رَبِّهِمْ فَكَانُوا يَتَدَبَّرُونَهَا بِاللَّيْلِ وَيُنْفِذُونَهَا بِالنَّهَارِ. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah said, our pious predecessors took the Quran as a direct letter from Allah. They would reflect on it at night and they would share it with the world in the morning. This was the connection, this was the link, this was the bond of the Quran. لَوْ أَنَّ قُلُوبَنَا طَهُرَتْ مَا شَبِعْنَا مِنْ كَلَامِ رَبِّنَا. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said, if only our hearts were clean, we would have never tired listening to the Quran. Amongst the complaints that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would lodge on the day of Qiyamah, it's in Surah Furqan in the 19th juz, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ يَا رَبِّ إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. And the Nabi will say, oh my Lord, my nation has forsaken the Quran. And Ibn Kathir in his tafsir writes, وَلِهِجْرَانِ الْقُرْآنِ سُوَرْ, that a person can be guilty of deserting and abandoning the Quran in many ways. And one form of abandoning the Quran is تَرْكُ تَفَهُمِهِ وَتَدَبُّرِهِ مِنْ هِجْرَانِهِ. Not to make a concerted effort to understand the message of the Quran is neglecting and forsaking the Quran. والعدول عنه إلى غيره من قول أو شعر أو كلام أو طريقة مأخوذة من غيره من هجرانه. To substitute the learning of the Quran by any other form of engagement is also a type of deserting, abandoning and neglecting the Quran. Be it as it may, the verses that were recited are the verses of Surah Al-Ahzab. And Surah Al-Ahzab is a chapter of the 21st juz and then it moves on to the 22nd juz. And in that Allah speaks extensively about the laws pertaining to women and hijab and modesty and bashfulness. So it has a direct link to our address today. In fact, under this ayah, the concluding verse of the 21st juz, which is part of Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah addressing the consorts of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Ya Nisa al-Nabi man ya'ti minkunna bifahishatin mubayyinah يضاعف لها العذاب ضعفين وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. So this is the final verse of the 21st juz, which is just a page preceding the verse that I recited now. And this is just as a preamble to the actual address. Ya Nisa al-Nabi, O the consorts, O the spouses, O the wives of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, من يأتي منكن بفاحشة مبينة, the one from amongst you who will openly perpetrate an act of immorality, يضاعف لها العذاب ضعفين. Her torment will be double. Her punishment will be double. وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. And this is very easy for Allah. No person's profile is a blockage for Allah to punish. No person in the world, it's a person's prominence, it's a person's profile. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. Allah says that I am not ashamed of the truth. I say the truth as it is. This is the beauty of Islam, that when the truth has to be said. In fact, as I will touch on this topic, it was the very nikah of Zainab radiallahu anha that has been featured in this ayah, and inshallah we'll grow from there. Actually, initially I had some other thoughts, but whichever way Allah takes my mind, inshallah, I believe that will be good for me and for our sisters, inshallah. So, it was on the occasion of the nikah of Zainab radiallahu anha, after the walima was over, Anas radiallahu anhu said, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave a relatively lavish walima for Zainab radiallahu anha. I was told to stand at the door and invite people, and they came in tens, eight, and left. And then some people sat down, and they were just chit-chatting. And the house was too small to accommodate the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam meeting with his spouse and allowing these people to chit-chat. And he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, due to his extreme modesty and bashfulness, he could not tell somebody stand up, you know. And sometimes people don't realize it. We would say in the case of Sahaba, it was definitely inadvertently. And in our times, unfortunately, it's naivety, and sometimes it's deliberate as well, where we would prolong our stay, thereby creating a sense of inconvenience. Sometimes you come and visit a person who's ill, and you prolong your stay, you cause him more discomfort than help him. Then you almost like got to tell him, brother, would you kindly close the door from outside? You know, and that's also if he gets the message, you know, but otherwise he's like, how do I do that? Okay, I'll tell someone to close. No, I'm euphemistically telling you if you can just make your way out. And so they sat down, and the Prophet ﷺ was pacing up and down, to try and tell them if they could leave because he needed to meet with his spouse. Our deen is full of adab. My sister, you can have all your degrees and academics, but if you don't have etiquettes and mannerism and respect and values, then I'm afraid. إثنان يسود بهما المرء وإن كان غير ذا علم وإن كان غير ذا مال. There are two qualities if you possess, you'll be the leader even if you're not wealthy. Al-ilmu wal-adabu. Knowledge and respect. Man addaba ibnahu arghama aduwahu. Wow. Man addaba ibnahu arghama aduwahu. There is no greater blow you can give to your foe and your enemy than to teach your child manners. That's the biggest thing through which you can defeat your opponent, because you will silence him or her with the value system. If you have values and adab, then that is what will shape you. Suratein kitni hi khubsurat ho, siraton ki muhtaj hoti hai. Suratein kitni hi khubsurat ho, siraton ki muhtaj hoti hai. Regardless of how beautiful your appearance is, if it's not coupled with character, then that's a blotch, that's a blemish, then that's a vacuum, that's deprivation, that's emptiness. Allah speaks about the damsels of Jannah, خَيْرَاتٌ حِسَانٌ خَيْرَاتُ الْأَخْلَاقِ حِسَانُ الْوُجُوهِ. Allah says they will be stunning in their appearance but sublime in their character. So adab is everything. Adab is everything. And today there's a vacuum, there's an emptiness, it's hollow, that we just lack morals and values. And this is our deen, this is our deen. A person in a Western context learning is constantly being told and reminded of the rights people owe to them. By 12, you're entitled to this. By 15, you demand this. By 18, you take legal action. By 19, you sue. So this is the mindset. This is the mindset that a young girl could be growing up. At 12, mom, you owe me this. At 15, I'm entitled to this. At 18, it's my rights. At 19, I can sue. And in an Islamic environment, the emphasis is, by 12, you owe this to your mother. By 15, you owe this to your neighbor. By 18, you owe this to society. So there's a mindset of someone growing up, understanding his obligation or her obligation to the world. And not someone growing up with like, listen, fill my bowl up. It's time you give, it's time you deliver. So anyway, we spoke about adab, and in everything Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has taught us mannerism in every aspect of our deen. And there's even one quotation mentioned, some mufassirin, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke about the wife of Lut. The wife of Lut alayhi salam. She was not a believer. Illa ajuzan fil ghabirin. But an old lady amongst those that remained. So the scholars of tafsir have written that she was a disbeliever, but she was the spouse of a Nabi. And Allah referenced to her as ajuz. And ajuz means an elderly person. One explanation is she was old. And the other explanation is she was not old, but she was the wife of a Nabi, so a respectful address was instituted. Ajuz, apa. Ajuz. Whereas she was not a Nabi, she was not a believer. She was not a believer. But just given the fact that she was the spouse of a Nabi, so the term ajuz was used towards her. The term ajuz was used towards her. So my sister, our deen is full of adab. Full of adab. If we learn values, then we will shine. Because sirat is the thing that will make you glitter. That will be the true beauty that will shape you and enhance you. And that the same goes to a man in every regard. The very famous hadith, when Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam came to the house of Ismail, right? And he said, where is your husband? So the wife said, no, kharaja yabtaghi lana. He's gone out to earn. And how is life? Nahnu fi dhiqin wa shidda. We are living in difficulty and adversity and challenges. Okay, when your husband comes, convey my salams to him and tell him, yughayyir atabata babihi. He must consider changing his doorstep. The ulama say, and I heard this from my ustad, Allah referred to Ibrahim in the Quran as Inna Ibrahim lahalimun. Ibrahim, Allah said, is the most tolerant. Awwahun. Qurtubi makes 14 explanations of Awwah. Imam Qurtubi says Awwah has 14 meanings, right? One who turns to Allah, one who cries excessively, etc., etc. Even a prophet whom Allah defined as tolerant, even his tolerance gave way when the spouse at home was ungrateful. Someone whom Allah said he's very tolerant, but when he came to a house in which there wasn't values of appreciation, even a man, what do you say? No, you lack tolerance. I lack tolerance. Right? Understand the context. When Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, and I heard this from Ustad as well, when Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu's body was brought and it was covered, in غُطِّيَ رَأْسُهُ بَدَتْ رِجْلَى. When his head was covered, his feet was exposed. When his feet was covered, his head was exposed. My Ustad mentioned a very profound thing. The Prophet ﷺ said, covering his head with the cloth and covering his feet with the leaves. He said that was an indication that there was no other cloth available by any other Sahabi as well. Because otherwise they all would have volunteered. O Nabi of Allah, give me, I'll give him a cloth. The fact that the Prophet ﷺ said covering his head with the cloth and the feet with the leaves means neither he had nor any Sahabi had. Halim, whom Allah describes, Allah said he is Halim. So anyway, that was an objective digression and we just spoke on adab. Speaking on the fact that Allah says the truth as it is. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. No person's profile becomes an impediment to the utterance for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they sat down and they talking, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is pacing up and down to try and imply to them if they could leave. Try and imply, it's causing inconvenience. And it also teaches us the lofty profile of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah then revealed the verse, فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. When you've eaten, then disperse. Do not engage in discussions. إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِي النَّبِيَّ. Your prolonged discussions annoys the Nabi. فَيَسْتَحْيِي مِنْكُمْ. But his modesty doesn't allow him to stop you. وَاللَّهُ لَا يَسْتَحْيِي مِنَ الْحَقِّ. And Allah is not shy to pronounce the truth as it ought to be said. Again, the scholars tell us, إِنَّ ذَلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِي النَّبِي. Verily, this annoys the Nabi. So the illah in prohibiting the prolonged discussion is either. So if your host wants you to sit, then that will not be forbidden because there's no either. I hope someone can hear it. It's Quran. It's Quran. It has it all in place. You know, we... وَلَوْ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ الرِّزْقَ لِعِبَادِهِ لَبَغَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. Anyway, we'll come back to that. So in that verse, Allah told the spouses of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, O the woman of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if any one of you commits an act of immorality, يُضَاعَفْ لَهَا الْعَذَابُ ضِعْفَيْنِ. Allah will double your punishment. وَكَانَ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرًا. Right? And this is easy for Allah. You know, I just marvel at how amazing the communication of Allah is. So Maryam alayhi salam, radiallahu anha, she goes on the eastern side of her house and she takes a ghusl, right? فَاتَّخَذَتْ مِن دُونِهِمْ حِجَابًا. And she puts a veil. Most say it was she just entered into puberty and she took her first ghusl. And as she completed her ritual bath, as a young girl that's become an adult now, she's moved from a child into adulthood, she's become a woman, and she's taken her first ghusl. It's a nervous moment, it's an anxious woman. A woman is finding her feet, there's this whole hormonal spurt that is happening in the transformation and the transition from a child to an adult. And she barely completes her ghusl, فَتَمَثَّلَ لَهَا بَشَرًا سَوِيًّا. And then there is this complete human before her, a male, a stranger. And this is Maryam, the pious, the modest, the pure, the chaste, whom Allah said, وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةً وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةً. And the mother of Mary was pure. The narration of Mishkat, first volume, the Prophet ﷺ said, when a child is born, يَسْتَهِلُّ صَارِخًا مِّن مَسِّ الشَّيْطَانِ. The child cries because the devil comes and nudges the child and says, I'll fix you up later. It's a hadith of them, right? The pediatrician will tell you it develops the lungs, it opens up the mind, and it's healthy. In Arabic, you refer to the first cry as istihlal. Istihlalu sabi. And if there is istihlal, then there is hayat. And then if the child passes away, then there will be named ghusl kafan. And if there is an istihlal, then the rituals of burial will not follow. That means the child was born without any trace of life. The books of fiqh tell you this. Anyway, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ says, when the child was born and when we are born, we cry because of devilish influence, interference. But two people were exempted from devilish influence at the time of birth. غَيْرُ مَرْيَمْ وَإِبْنِهَا. Maryam and her son Isa had no devilish influence. That's the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when she seen this person, obviously a modest, chaste woman, to find a strange man in an area of seclusion, it's an apocalypse. It's an apocalypse. It's life has ended. It's tantamount to death. This is like, whoa, what is this for me here? Right? It's such an awkward woman for a modest woman, like what? قالت إني أعوذ بالرحمن منك إن كنت تقيا. I ask the protection of Allah. You look so pious. Who are you, brother? Please move from here. Like you just came out and it's a strange man and you're a woman with absolute modesty. This is an apocalypse. It's the world is over. What is this? قالت إني أنا قال إنما أنا رسول ربي. Relax, O Maryam, I am the envoy of your Lord and I've come to give you the glad tidings of an intelligent boy that is going to be born to you. So the natural response of Maryam, the Virgin Mary, قالت أنا يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أكو بغيا. Listen, there's only two ways of birth, the legal and the illegal, the lawful and the unlawful. I'm free from the lawful and the unlawful. I didn't get married, nor am I unchaste. So I'm coming back to this part here. قالت أنا يكون لي غلام ولم يمسسني بشر ولم أكو بغيا. قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي هين. قال كذلك قال رب وكان ذلك على الله يسيرا. قال كذلك قال ربك هو علي. No, it's just going to happen like this. You won't be married and you'll remain chaste and you will become a mother. And your Allah said it's so easy for him. And the ulama say, there is nothing easier for Allah. We cannot use the word, this is easier for Allah. And in the Quran, where the word ahwan is mentioned, it's in the context of hayyin. Right? مَا خَلْقُكُمْ وَلَا بَعْثُكُمْ إِلَّا كَنَفْسٍ وَاحِدًا. So Allah says that وَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْكُمْ. أَهْوَن is in the meaning of hayyin. Because if you say something is easier, that means something was not so easy. And everything is totally easy. And what is easy for Allah? The intention of Allah is existence. The intention of Allah is existence. That's it. So Allah said, you will become a mother and a child will be born to you and you will remain pure and you will remain chaste. And just as Fir'aun tempted or was enticed to kill Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, there was a king that wanted to kill Maryam and her son as well. And Allah references this in the Quran. وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَىٰ رَبَوَةٍ ذَاتِ قَرَارٍ وَمَعِينٍ وَآوَيْنَاهُمَا إِلَىٰ رَبَّهُ. And we gave them shelter on an elevated place in which water was flowing as well. So there's a whole history to that. Anyway, for Allah, everything is easy. For Allah, everything. I often say, someone is sick, then we say, pray that tomorrow when the doctors come and they do the x-ray, then the results are clear and there's no blockage and there's no tumor. And just pray Allah, give him shifa. Why do you have to go through the whole procedure? I just hope that the cardiologist, when he checks, he confirms that there is no blockage and the arteries are clear. And you know what, when the nephrologist comes and he says, no, the kidney, Allah gives shifa. That's it. Like, you know what, why follow protocol for Allah? Allah doesn't have all these procedures. Allah bypasses everything. It's just when he intends it, it's going to happen, man. We see youngsters from amongst us that are rebellious. You just hope he dies with iman. And then when Allah gives him iman and guidance, then he becomes the reformer of thousands of youth. You see this every day. It's like, this guy, just hope he dies with iman. That's it, I'm worried about him. He's so volatile, he's so vulnerable, he's so evil, he's so, you know what, nasty. He's got everything happening. But when Allah turns his heart and focuses his lenses and changes his moral compass, suddenly this youth has become a source and a catalyst for youth towards good. So anyway, coming back to the point, Allah told the spouses of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you commit any act of immorality, then it is very easy for Allah to give you double punishment. In Ahkamul Quran, Imam Abu Bakr Jassas rahimahullah writes under this ayah, the illat of tadhrif of adab. You can read it, the scholars can. So Ahkamul Quran is deducing the laws from the Quran, deducing, and that's the beauty of the Quran. Wa inni sammaytuha Maryam, the mother of Maryam, the wife of Imran, Himna, as is mentioned in Jalalain. She said, when the child was born, I've named my daughter Maryam. In Ahkamul Quran, Abu Bakr Jassas deduces from this, it's totally fine and correct and permissible for the mother to name her daughter or name the child. It's not the right of a male nor the right of a female. Islam is neutral to the concept of who names, but Islam is sensitive to the name you give. Wow. Islam is neutral, read it there. وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ because the mother is قَالَتْ إِمْرَأَةُ عِمْرَانَ وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَّتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمْ. So the mother named her daughter Maryam. So from this he deduces, it's totally fine. Today we don't care about the name given, but we care about whose right it is to give the name. I've just lost the focus. No, it's my right, I'm entitled. Yes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam named Hassan and Hussein. When Ali radiallahu anhu came and said that he's born, so Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ali, what name? He said, Harb. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, it's Hassan. And then again, no, Harb. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, it's Hussein. Right? But that was when the maternal grandfather was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not for every nana. Right? That was when the maternal grandfather was Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu used to give Abdullah ibn Umar 1,000 dirhams from the treasury and used to give Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhu 5,000. So then one day the son Abdullah told his father, "Oh my dad Umar, you in charge, you in control of the affairs of the Ummah. And I know that Islam prohibits nepotism, that you shouldn't be doing political favors to your children. But at the same time, Islam doesn't allow you to discriminate. Right? Don't give me more than others, but don't give me less than others." Hassan and Hussein radiallahu anhuma yal'abani fi turuqat al-Madina. They were playing in the streets of Medina when I was up and I was a believer and I was alongside with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How do you justify giving them a handsome 5,000 and giving me a lousy 1,000? He said, "Oh my son, you are my son and I love you. No father wants to discriminate and give his own son less. It's not you versus them, it's their mother versus your mother. It's not you versus them. If you had to fill the world with women like your mother, ma wafayna bi ummihima, it cannot match with the profile of who their mother was." And I look at that fact. I look at that fact. In fact, whenever the spoils of the war used to come, then he used to distribute to all the spouses. And last he used to give to Hafsa. Because he said, "I have an obligation to her as the wife of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But if I fall short, I'd rather be deficient because it's my daughter and not anyone else's daughter." Umar, Umar, Umar. These were our days. So Imam Abu Bakr Jassas makes mention in Bayanul Quran that the reason why Allah told the Azwaj Mutahharat, if you do a wrong, your punishment will be double, because their proximity to revelation, their closeness, that they were hamilat of ilm, they were carrying knowledge. And he says, from this we can deduce that the crime of a scholar, male or female, when he or she errs, then their punishment will be double. Their punishment will be double because the illat that's mushtarak is their proximity to mawridul wahi, the closeness and mahbatul wahi, the place of revelation, with their proximity to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Anyway, so I was saying that, look at the beautiful environment of Sahaba. So, Qais have recited before us a verse of the Quran in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sketches an image of a marriage. And today our marriages are in turbulence, raising our children, we're going through so many challenges, difficulties, hurdles, obstacles, impediments, etc. At the onset, my sister, we need to know and remind ourselves that our life on existence by design is a life of trial. Our life on earth, by very defined, that the manner in which Allah has defined it, is a life of challenge. If we try to create a life free of challenges, hiccups and glitches, we're going against the grain. وَلَّقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي كَبَدٍ. We've created man in toil. We've created man. This is the life we've legislated for him. So if you convert in an examination room into a relaxing lounge, you're going to have too many teething problems because it's designed for exams. It's not designed to chill. You say, "No, I need to have a massage parlor here. I need to have a relaxing. I need to have a shower." Hang on, it's an examination room. Yeah, but you know what? No, you're going against the grain. So look at this verse. Allah says in the 18th Juz, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. And that's what I say, and I've said it all the time in my talks, is there's nothing that gives me more comfort, consolation and motivation to deal with my affairs and challenges than Quran. Because like I'm going through a trial and the same day I'll read the Quran, and in that there will be a verse that Allah will be answering my problem of the day precisely. Precisely, precisely. And that's the Quran, right? Al-ibratu lil-umum. So it's driven for a particular cause, but the implications can be extended and broaden, and then it will have a direct link to you, like Allah is talking to you precisely, exactly one-on-one in your own life, exactly what you experience in that day. So Allah says, it's the concluding verse of the 18th Juz, وَجَعَلْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ فِتْنَةً. And we have made one from amongst you a trial to the other. This is how Allah has made life. Each one of you, we are humans, we are social creatures, no human is an island, we coexist, right? So we all need each other to, when we lose someone, the psychologists tell us, it's not the role that person played, because you can easily fill in the role. Someone can come home, someone can pick up the kids, someone can come to the shop. It's the absence of that person and the connection that we had. And that is where the human psychology grapples with the absence of a person, because we're social creatures. We have a network together. This is how Allah has designed us, and this is how Allah has created us. So Allah says, we have made one attest to the other. In Tafsir Uthmani, under this ayah is written, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we've created the disbelievers to test your patience. And O disbelievers, we've sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to test your submission. Oh my word. Oh my Allah. Oh my Allah. Then Allah says, Atasbirun? Atasbirun? Will you all just be patient? Will you all just make sabr? Then Allah says, وَكَانَ رَبُّكَ بَصِيرًا. I'm watching who's inflicting and who's receiving. Oh my word. Oh my word. I'm watching who's the victor and who's the victim. Who's inflicting and who's receiving. In this world, it's always a challenge. It's like whenever you work in, the boss is not watching. And when you sit in, he's there. Right? When I'm in the kitchen washing, then my mother-in-law is never there. Right? And then jara room ma jao ekle jo hai aaj nahi poyre. But Allah says, I'm watching. And you're dealing with me. A beggar came to Ali radiallahu anhu, Ibn Asakir makes the mention. And then he said that I need to inni ilayka haja. I have a need. Rafa'tuha ila Allah qabla an arfa'aha ilayk. I've presented it to Allah before I've come to you. So I've asked Allah, and in outer circumstances I've come into you. Fa in anta qadaytaha hamidtu Allah wa shakartuk, wa in lam taqdiha hamidtu Allah wa hadartuk. If you fulfill it, I will thank Allah and I'll be grateful to you. And if you decline, I'll still thank Allah and I'll excuse you. Life was just so clean, man. It was just so pure. It was just so... So say, now, Ali, look at the modesty and humility. He said, don't beg me. Write it on a piece of paper. Because I don't like people to beg me direct. This is not good for myself. Wow. Wow. Right. Yesterday I touched on this here, and I keep on reading and I keep on crying in my own way. May Allah give us humility. Like this pride is just paralyzes us. Like, what do you think? The narration of Tabri, Sahaba were out with the Prophet wasallam, and it was time to eat. So one Sahabi said, Ya Rasulallah, alayya salkhuha, I will skin the animal. And the other one said, alayya dhabhuha, I will slaughter it. And the Prophet said, okay, alayya jam'ul hatab, then I'll gather the firewood and burn the fire. Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, somebody came to visit him. So then the lantern went off. So he stood up. So Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi said, no, wait, please, don't do anything. You just sit. So he got up and then he lit the lantern and then he sat down. He said, "Kuntu wa ana Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, wa jalastu wa ana Umar ibn Abdul Aziz." I stood up to own it and I'm still the same person, and I sat up. It didn't destroy my profile in any way. Where did I lose myself in anything? So humility was just of a different level altogether. What was I saying? Which is the number of documents? La ilaha illallah. When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went for Hajj, he had a qatifa, he had a shawl covering his camel. La tusawi arba'ata darahim. The value of that was not more than 4 dirhams. He said, Allahumma ja'alu hajjan la riya'a fihi wa la sum'a. The narration of Tirmizi. Allah, make it that my hajj is not a hajj of pomp and show. And the scholar says, because of that dirham, that shawl was 4 dirhams. So it mustn't be that it's a display of any form of wealth. It's a display of any form of affluence. Anyway, so we were talking about this incident of Zainab radiallahu anha. And that's what I said, that today in our marriages we are facing so many different challenges. So Zainab radiallahu anha was the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Her actual name was Barra. فَسَمَّاهَا النَّبِيُّ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Zainab. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam changed her name from Barra to Zainab. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could only marry those cousins of his that made hijrah. He couldn't marry cousins of his that did not make hijrah. Right? So Umm Hani radiallahu anha, he could not marry because she was from the Tulaqa. She accepted Islam at the time of the conquest of Mecca, the daughter of Abu Talib. That was the cousin of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not marry her. And Allah speaks about this in the Quran. Inna ahlalna laka azwajaka allati atayta ujurahunna wa ma malakat yaminuk mimma afaa Allahu alayka wa banati ammika wa banati ammatika wa banati khalika wa banati khalatika allati hajarna ma'ak. Of course, the ma'iyyat doesn't mean literal hijrat with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, meaning there must be mushtarak in hijrah. They had to make hijrah. I hope I can, you know, just be simple. I don't want to lose anyone in my address. But focusing on the ayah that Qarisab recited. So, Zainab radiallahu anha, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted to wed her to Zayd radiallahu anhu. Zayd radiallahu anhu was the adopted son of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then the verses was revealed, etc. It's a detailed discussion. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Zainab, I want you to get married. Now, there was a blotch of slavery in the ancestry of Zayd radiallahu anhu. But this was wrongly imposed on him. He was not a slave. And this kind of created a stigma to his lineage and genealogy, which was not found to be palatable to the ancestry of Zainab radiallahu anha. That from a very noble, decent family going up, and here it was not compatible, so the family had reservation and apprehension and two-minded, and no, I'm not sure, we'll let you know. You know, someone said, you go propose as a poor man to a woman, then she said, I'll make istikhara. And you go as a wealthy man, istikhara is positive. You know? But the truth is, my sister, it's not wealth that's going to give you happiness. A pious person said, marry your daughter to a man who fears Allah. In ahabbaha akramaha. Wa illam yuhibbaha lam yadlimha. If he loves her, then it's hunky-dory, then all is going good, there's no issues. But the day when crap hits the fan, then wealth won't prohibit him from abusing her, but taqwa will. Taqwa will. Taqwa will. Mm-hmm. And the question always in the world is, who monitors the monitor? Who monitors the monitor? So he's a bully. I mean, there was an article of a neighboring country in Africa, and I read it, and in that they found that the anti-corruption unit was the most corrupt. The anti-corruption unit was the most corrupt. So the question is, who polices the police? Taqwa. Taqwa. Nothing else can stop a man where there's no camera but the fear of Allah. Nothing. Nothing but nothing. You're sitting in your house, it's your partner, it's your children, it's your employee, cameras are off, systems are down. Who's going to stop anyone from abusing is that my Lord is watching me. That's it. That's the only thing that can bring discipline into a human. By planting more cameras, you're only complicating the process. You're complicating. It has a monitor. It's under pressure so many times. And it gives me a shiver in my back. Often in my travels, you know what? You want to tip someone. And then the person says, no, brother, not here. The cameras are watching me. Come this side here. But, and you're not doing anything illegal. They're just not allowed to take money. And it gives me a hit on my heart that one camera and he doesn't default. And have we forgotten that Allah's watching us? I met a young man the other day, so he's losing a lot of kilos and he's shedding calories. So I asked him, mashallah, what's the motivation? He said, Sheikh, standing on the scale motivates me daily. When I stand on that scale and I see how much I've dropped, that motivates me. And it hit my heart, and I said, if only the believer can think of the scale of Akhirah daily, it will motivate him and propel him. He says, every day I stand on that scale and I look, wow, and I'm good, and I'm energetic, and it just, you know, propels me, and it gives me to, takes me to a next height and length. So what about the believer if he can think about that scale? وَنَضَعِ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْطَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ Right? And the scales of justice. يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ لِي مَمْلُوكِينَ يَخُونُونَنِي وَيَعْصُونَنِي I have these servants of mine. Sometimes they hurt me. Sometimes I hurt them. Sometimes I have a go with them. Sometimes they have a go with me. Like, how is Allah going to match this whole thing? Allah will judge your harshness against their default. If it balances out, kana kafafa la laka wala alayhi. If it's equal, no credit, no merit, and no default, and no demerit to you. But if on the other hand, you were more harsh to them than they're wrong, then revenge will be taken from you against them because of the wrong. O Nabi of Allah, then they could potentially jeopardize my entry into Jannah, absolutely. Then I rather set them free because I don't want to have complications in Akhirah. The only thing that can watch you in your affairs, how you pay your employee, how you treat him, is not the legal setup that has a monitoring process, is your consciousness of Allah. My Allah is watching my affairs. So anyway, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to her that please get married. She had reservation. Allah revealed the verse which we just heard now. وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ وَلَا مُؤْمِنَةٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ مِنْ أَمْرِهِمْ أي وَمَا كَانَ يَنْبَغِي وَمَا يَصِحُ It's not becoming, it does not behove a believing male or female that when Allah and His Nabi decrees or ordains something for them to request the right of option in the matter. They cannot say, no, I'll sleep over it, I'll give it thought, I'll get back, let me see how I can juggle, let's see how I can circumvent it, what can I do? وَمَا كَانَ لِمُؤْمِنٍ إِذَا قَضَى اللَّهُ أَمْرًا أَن يَكُونَ لَهُمُ الْخِيَرَةُ So Zainab radiallahu anha, then when the ayat was revealed, she said, O Nabi of Allah, I'm happy, then I'm happy. Allah has revealed the verse and I'm happy to get married. And then the nikah was performed to Zaid radiallahu anhu. You couldn't have a better matchmaker than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Who can choose two better than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? But this is the world. I said that verse that Allah has made one a test for the other. This is it. As my wife, I'm a test and she's a test to me. To my children, I'm a test and to them, I am a test. To the employer, the employee, to the employer. In every relation of life, one is a test to the other. This is the design. This is how Allah has made it. I have an obligation to give. She has an obligation. And each person, our pious, never failed in the rights of those who failed in their rights. So if somebody defaulted, they did not default back. That wasn't the pious. I mustn't fall short in my right. And that's how you can reform. But if it's going for a tit for tat, then the world is stagnant. We don't make progress. So I believe you need to do and you believe I need to do. The Prophet ﷺ told a beggar not to beg. And he told you, if somebody comes to your door, don't decline even if he comes on a horse. وَإِنْ جَاءَ عَلَى فَرَسِمْ Right. So I'm telling the beggar, hey, don't beg. And he said, hey, don't refuse. Right. Yeah, I was quoting that hadith of Ibn Asakir. When I was saying to you that Allah is watching everything. Allah is watching everything. Okay, we'll get too long. So the nikah was performed and lo and behold, it was turbulent. The marriage was turbulent, right? And things were not going properly. It was rocky. It was turbulent. It was up and down. What they say, every partner is a farmer by default. Every partner is a farmer. I say partner. I didn't say husband or wife. I like to be gender neutral. Yeah, every partner is a farmer by default. Because he or she's survival depends on agriculture. Agriculture. And agriculture increases GDP, gross domestic peace. You got to agree. That's the whole thing. And that's where marriage comes. And that's where maturity comes. And that's where it shapes you. And that's where it regulates you. And that's where it governs you. And that's where it disciplines you. It just brings discipline into you. The worst thing for this human nafs is for it to be just free. then he causes havoc. Min al jinnati wan nas. Allah save me from the whisper of the devil from the jinnat, and save me from the whisper of the human devil. In Surah An-Nas, min al jinna wan nas. Save me from the, give me a translation of the ayah, save me from shar, the evil of the whisper of the jinn, the shaitan, and also the human devil. Who is the human devil? Right? Allama Izzuddin ibn Abd al-Salam, he writes in his kitab Al-Fawaid fi Mushkilat al-Qur'an, that the human devil is the nafs. The human devil is the nafs. The Prophet ﷺ said, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min sharri nafsi. Allah save me from this. Yeah, this nafs, it can throw a thousand things to you, and it can just create havoc in your life. It can create havoc in your life. So things got turbulent in the marriage, and then Zayd radiallahu anhu came and told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh Nabi Allah, it's not working out. Oh Nabi Allah, it's not working out. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, keep her, please. You know what? She got married because I told her. And she didn't want to get married. And now you're telling me you're not getting along. Right? Life is a test. Life is a test. By Allah, I often say to myself, Ya Allah, I've already reached the point in my life that I know with certainty that more can't make me more happy. Where I am and what Allah has given me, and each man has a natural wish, desire, aspiration. But you reach a point and you tell yourself, okay, if I go one up more, what more? What more? It's nothing. It's this is it. This is the nature of life. You know, if nobody gets more than 50 in the exam. Some get 40 year and 30 year, and some get 70 year and 20 year. But nobody gets a higher aggregate. And that's the will and the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that we all can remain and understand that we are servants, and end of the day, we are all feeble creatures. We are all feeble creatures to the Almighty. There's nothing that Allah loves more that we repeatedly confess our inability and declare His sovereignty. Allah loves that. Allah loves that. We, as weak as we are, we like when people blow our trumpet. We feel so inflated and conceited about this, and we feel great about it, and we know it's fake and supernatural, superficial. So Nabi Sassam said, "Amsik alayka," say, just keep her. But as the time was moving on, Nabi Sassam said, "This is not going to last. This marriage is going to break up. It's only a matter of time." And now Nabi Sassam, in his heart, is thinking, "If this marriage breaks up, the only way I can mend her heart is that I get married to her." Right? This is the verses that were revealed, that were recited now. The only way that I can mend her heart. But there's a potential challenge to this, because he was my adopted son. So his wife is my daughter-in-law. And to marry your daughter-in-law is forbidden. But Islam says to marry your daughter-in-law of your biological son is forbidden, not of your adopted son. I hope my sisters are following my pattern of thoughts. I always say, my sister, break your head to understand Quran. Even if you break a sweat and you're restless and you cannot work it out to resolve a conundrum, a difficult situation, rather in deen, my sister, than trying to resolve some other complexity. Rather in deen. You know, the pious, they used to actually have these lata'if, where they used to stimulate the brain. Someone asked Abu Yusuf rahimahullah, that two women are sitting, and then two men came. So these two women said, right, a little bit of mantiqiyya, right, they said, Marhaban bi ibnayna wa ibnay zawjayna wa huma zawjani lahuma. Two women are sitting here, and they said, welcome to our sons and the sons of our husbands. But these two women were their husbands. So how do you resolve this? Hello? I'm saying, break your head to understand deen. That's just a stimulation in that regard, just a brain teaser, right? Like we try and understand all these intricacies and complexities and understand and unpack this here and all that here.
And then what? إِنْ أَنَا لَمْ أَفُزْ بِمَرَادِ سَعْيِ وَكَمْ مِنْ حَسْرَةٍ تَحْتَ التُرَابِ. The poet said, if in the world I didn't tick off all my boxes, and I didn't accomplish all my material goals, what's the difference? Those who did it and those who didn't do it, they're still sleeping under the sand. Okay, so you toured Europe. I didn't tour Europe. So you didn't die. Only I died. Huh? So, okay, so you traveled there, you did this, that was your bucket list, that was your boxes to tick. You tick it or you don't tick it, we still go same place, man. So why achieve that? But if you tick off your spiritual things, your destiny forever is different. Your destiny forever is different. Break your head here, my sister, it's meaningful. So there are two sitting here and they said, Marhaban bi ibnayna wa ibnay zawjayna wa huma zawjani lahuma. So they came to Abu Yusuf rahimahullah. And they asked Abu Yusuf to resolve this. He said, it's very easy. تَزَوَّجَتْ كُلُّ وَاحِدَةٍ مِّنْهُمَا بِإِبْنِ صَاحِبَتِهَا. Two women said, welcome to our sons and our husband's sons. But these men were their husbands. In essence, it was two women who had two sons. And each woman married the son of the other. So they both were their sons and their husband's sons. But respectively, they were husbands to each other. You know that story, it's going to get your brains a bit too much twisted here. Can you tell me some figures what I have? Actual science, you know what? Yeah. There was this good friend of mine, he passed away, like Ratim Jannah. His vision was a bit impaired. He says, like that, I cannot see properly, but the only thing I can count in dark is money. it's whatever is our engagement that can Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu's time, there was two people were sitting on the side of the road and they were eating, right? So they had eight loaves of bread. Jalasa yataghaddayan. مع أحدهما خمسة أرغفة ومع الآخر ثلاثة أرغفة. One had three loaves, the other one had five loaves, eight loaves together. And they started eating. And while they were eating, another person came and then they said, join us. So he sat down. So then after he ate, he felt a moral obligation to reciprocate and to thank. So he took out eight dirhams and he said, خذاها عوضا عما أكلت من طعامكما. Okay, here's eight dirhams. Thank you for being kind enough and gracious. You know, appreciate the gesture, here's the eight dirhams. So they said, okay, thank you, very kind of you. And off he went. And the Prophet ﷺ said, if somebody gives you something where you didn't hope or desire or wish for, then you must take it, it's from Allah. And if you're hoping from the heart, then the Sufis call it Ishraf. Right? In Suluk, they call it Ishraful Nafs, where the Nafs is peeping. The Nafs is peeping. So you're not asking from the tongue, but the Nafs is peeping. There was one great disciple of his teacher. He said, my teacher was teaching, and then I seen hunger on his face. So I said, oops, I can realize this. So he went and he brought food. He brought food and he presented. So the chef said, no, I cannot, because when you got up, I realized you're going to get food for me. So he said, okay, no problem. Don't have it. He took the food and he went and he came back. He said, now you didn't have hope. He said, absolutely. He said, now eat it from Allah. You know, these people were... So anyway... He gave them 8 dirhams and then he went. Now, look at human greed, how much it paralyzes you. You fed the person, you had no hope for anything. The money came, they became a problem. Nalla garma rehta hota, apan mohabbat theek rehta hota, aur matta garma aavi gaya, aur ye inaate nahi baat kare, na itnaate nahi baat kare, na koi daro nahi bhulwa na. Jab hum chote the, to bhul jate the, to log hame kehte the, yaad rakhna seekho. اب برے ہو گئے تو ہر بات یاد رہتی ہے اب لوگ کہتے ہیں بھولنا سیکھو جب ہم چھوٹے تھے تو بھول جاتے تھے when we were small we were clumsy, we were heedless, we were negligent آنے تو کہیں یاد چنی رہے تمہیں کہیں آپو ہی نہ حافظہ واسطے کہیں یچ یاد نہیں رہے انہیں ہر ماروں نے چاوی دے توہو بھولی جائے انہیں گل بھی دے بھولی جائے When we were small, we were careless, we were negligent, we were heedless. Then we grew up, then we evolved, then we became circumspect, then we were methodical, then we were skilled, then we were calculated. Now we remember everything. We were agatni wache, koidoroni bulwa. Now people are telling us, learn to forget. Learn to forget. How much you're going to carry? How much you're going to remember? Become a vessel of depression. Every time, some people never heal because they keep on replaying corrupted scenarios. They stuck in the past. Every time you recall a negative event of the past, psychologists say the body produces the same chemicals it produced at the time of affliction. That means you replaying the trauma 100 times in your life. When something negative happens, psychologists tell you the body releases negative chemicals. And every time you recall that incident, the body creates the same chemicals. The body creates the same chemicals. When you cannot change what's happening, then challenge yourself to change in the manner you respond to what's happening. When you cannot change what's happening, challenge yourself to change the manner in which, that's where the strength lies. This is the reality. I cannot change it. But you can change how you react into it. That's where the strength lies. So this person gave 8 dirhams and he said, take it. Now, فَقَالَ صَاحِبُ الْخَمْسَةِ لِي خَمْسَةُ دَرَاهِمْ. The one who gave 5 loaves of bread, 5 for me. You gave 3 for me. The one who gave 3, he said, no, we sat down and we ate together. So I want 4, you must have 4. Human greed has killed us. I gave a talk years back, life is difficult, but it's become more difficult with our self-inflictions. So it's difficult, this is X amount, you cannot do anything about it. This is real, this is how Allah has designed it. Then we have these own inflictions that compound and exacerbate our crisis. And we've just bring it upon ourselves. There's no need to be stressed and tense about this year. He lost, they won. So what? You get in royalties? No, tough luck, man. Have a Kit Kat. Move on. Why bring all this added stress in your life? Look at the stress in these two people. They fed someone good reward. Someone gave them 8 dirhams, down this tension. Nobody gave money, they were happy. Till then, everyone was talking. And since they found the zameen, no one is talking. Now there's a whole issue here. He said, I want. So they came to Ali radiallahu anhu and they said, Ali, see, this is what happened. He gave 8 dirhams and I said, my sister, understand deen. It's so beautiful. It's so wholesome. It's so rich. It's so profound. It's so stimulating. Sayyidina Ali said, قَدْ عَرَضَ صَاحِبُكَ مَا قَدْ عَرَضَ. Your brother's given you the proposal of 3 dirhams and he'll take 5. I think that's a very gracious gesture. Maybe accept that. He says, no, I want my right. So Sayyidina Ali said, well, then your right is 1 dirham and 7 ayis. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu said, your right is 1 dirham. Take away, mane to char tanne char karu. I buy it from mara tanne ek karwa mange. How? Now that, look at Sayyidina Ali, look at the wisdom. Because the narration said they were 3 who consumed 8 loaves of bread equally. أَكَلُوا الْأَرْغِفَةَ الثَّمَانِيَ بِالسَّوِيَّةِ. Right, those who understand Arabic. أَكَلُوا, they ate, الْأَرْغِفَةَ الثَّمَانِيَ, 8 loaves of bread بِالسَّوِيَّةِ equally. So if they 3 consumed 8 loaves equally, take 8 and divide it into 3 equally, you won't able to. So let's assume we cut each loaf in half and make it 16. 16 divided by 3 equally, no, you won't able to. So let's say we cut each loaf into, look at the intelligence of Ali radiallahu anhu. We cut each loaf into 3, so it's 24 divided by 3. Yeah, that's correct. So each person ate how much? Each person ate 8, 16, 24. Each person had 8 portions of the loaf. So, okay. And then, so 2 of you, 8 and 8, 16. And how many dirhams did you give? He says, I gave 5 dirhams. So, if you take, and you gave 1 dirham. So, no, he gave 3 dirhams, right? So just let me get this thing right myself here. Wait. It's a simple thing here. So it was 8 dirhams in total, and it was 24. It was 24. And now when you divide it, the person who left, he ate 8, right? And 2 of you ate 8. Now you take your 3 loaves. You came with 3 loaves, and you work that three loaves up and you divide it up. So how much is it going to come into? 9 pieces. One loaf 3, the second loaf 3, and the third loaf 3. So out of that 9, how many you ate? 8. So how much you didn't eat? 1. So how much must you get? 1. And he came with 5 loaves, times it by 3 is 15. 5 times it by 3 is 15. Out of that he ate 8. So what happened to the 7? 7 of yours and 1 of his, that person ate. So take your 1 dirham and give him his 7 dirhams. And this wasn't like, you know, enter it into a program and it will give you the, okay, 3 people, 8 loaves, yeah, I'm just waiting for the result, yeah, we're offline, yeah, 1 minute, yeah. Subhanallah. Anyway, Sayyidina Zainab radiallahu anha, the marriage was on rocks. Now, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had this, adhan is at 1 o'clock? Okay, till God to it. So, Zainab radiallahu anha, look at this here. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has this fear that if I get married to Zainab radiallahu anha, there's this notion, there's this concept, you know, perception amongst people, you can't marry your daughter-in-law, right? But that is with regards to your own biological son, not your adopted son. Back and forth, it didn't work and the marriage broke up. The marriage broke up. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah told him in the Quran, وَتُخْفِي فِي نَفْسِكَ مَا اللَّهُ مُبْدِيهِ وَتَخْشَ النَّاسِ. And you were concealing in your heart something which Allah was to reveal. And that was your intention of getting married to Zainab radiallahu anha and nothing else. That's the authentic and the correct version and interpretation. Anyway, listen to the beauty of our deen. When the nikah broke up and the talaq was over, take a guess what? Take a guess what? And this is mentioned in the narrations. Nabi Sassam called, so when Nabi Sassam wanted Zainab to get married to Zaid, he went to Zainab and told Zainab, I want you to get married to Zaid. Now when the marriage was over, Nabi Sassam told Zaid, you go to your ex-wife and tell her, I want to marry her. Allah. Yes, that's the narration. Kana Zaid خاطب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم Zaid radiallahu anhu says, I'm going back to my ex-wife to tell her that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants to marry. Right? Generally when a marriage breaks up, then it creates such unpleasantness that both parties have this notion, I want to see if you get better. Apre jo hai. Right? You know what? So Zaid radiallahu anhu says, I went, and when I got there, my ex-wife Zainab radiallahu anhu was just preparing the dough and preparing the food. For wallaytu dhahri, I turned back out of modesty and I stood at the side. And obviously it's an awkward moment, right? It's a challenging moment. It was your former spouse and things have now moved on. But the beauty of our deen, so I said, abshiri ya Zainab, glad tidings to you, O Zainab. Inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yakhtubuki, the Nabi of Allah has sent me to convey his proposal to you, and I'm so happy for you. You get it way better than me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Wa fi hadha min al-hikma annama yaqa'u bayna az-zawjayn min nafratin wa khilafin thumma talaqin la yajuzu an yakuna mani'an min nushi ihda az-zawjayn lil-akhar. The ulama say the wisdom why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam selected Zainab's former spouse to go back to her is to teach us that it doesn't mean if talaq took place, you must become permanent enemies. You can still wish good for that previous family and spouse. This is the reason and the hikmat why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Zaid himself, you go and say it. Their understanding was just totally different. Nabi Sassam had paid up Abu Darda and Salman radiallahu anhu. So Salman radiallahu anhu came, Fara'a Ummat Darda mutabadhila. This is the clear hadith of Bukhari. He seen that Ummat Darda radiallahu anhu, the wife of Abu Darda, was not well attired. She was not well dressed. She was not presentable. So he said, what's the matter? So she said, Akhuka Abu Darda, your brother Abu Darda, he's got no interest. He's got no interest, he's just in worship, so he doesn't give me much attention. So when Abu Darda radiallahu anhu came, he prepared food and he gave it to Salman. The hadith is in Bukhari. Salman radiallahu anhu said, no, I'm not going to eat, you must eat. He said, I'm fasting. He said, no, you need to eat. So then he ate. Then he came the night, he said, I'm going to make ibadah. He said, you go and sleep with your wife. You go and sleep with your... Look at how that environment was. Go and sleep. So then he goes, then he gets up, he said, you go back and sleep. Allah. Then he went and slept again. Then it was the late part of the night, he said, right now you can get up. So then Abu Darda radiallahu anhu went to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, oh Nabi of Allah, Salman told my wife to dress better, he told me not to fast, he told me to sleep. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Sadaqa Salman, Salman's understood it correctly. Salman's understood it correctly. So we digressed and so many things were said, but in the context of marriage, if we look into our teachings of nikah, Islam teaches us in terms of upbringing, in terms of nikah. I always say, when nikah was simple, zina was difficult. When nikah was simple, zina was difficult. And from the time we made nikah difficult, zina's become simple. Make zina difficult. Make zina difficult. Make nikah simple. Make nikah simple, then why would you opt for zina? Why would you want to do wrong? Make it simple, make it easy. Make it simple. Abu Wada'a, one of his contemporaries, says that حَدَّثَنِي أَبُو وَدَاعَ كُنْتُ أُنَازِمُ مَسْجِدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ طَلَبًا لِلْعِلْمِ. Right? I used to attend the gathering of Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, who was known as Afdal al-Tabi'een, in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So I used to go and sit there, and I used to attend the gathering. فَتَغَيَّبْتُ عَنْ حَلَقَةِ الشَّيْخِ أَيَّامًا. So I was absent for a few days. فَتَفَقَّدَنِي. My teacher started looking for me, and he said, where's Abu Wada'a? People said, we don't know. Anyway, I came back after a few days. حَيَّانِ وَرَحَّبَ بِي. He welcomed me. He said, أَيْنَ كُنْتَ يَا أَبَا وَدَاعَ? Oh, Abu Wada'a, where have you been? So I said, تُوُفِّيَتْ زَوْجَتِي. تُوُفِّيَتْ زَوْجَتِي. My wife has passed away. فَاشْتَغَلْتُ بِأَمْرِهَا. So I was attending to the burials of my wife, helping her in her rituals and all that. So my teacher said, هَلَّا أَخْبَرْتَنَا فَنُوَاسِيَكَ وَنَشْهَدَ جَنَازَتَهَا مَعَكَ وَنُعِينَكَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتَ فِيهِ. Why didn't you tell us that your wife passed away? We would have come and helped you and give ghusl. I said, no, jazakallah khair, I appreciate this. So, وَهَمَمْتُ أَنْ أَقُومُ. I said, I'll stand and leave. فَاسْتَبَقَانِي. He said, wait. حَتَّى انصَرَفَ جَمِيعُ مَنْ كَانَ فِي الْمَجْلِسِ. Until everyone in the gathering left. And then he said, أَمَا فَكَّرْتَ فِي اسْتِحْدَاثِ زَوْجَةٍ لَكَ يَا أَبَا وَدَاعَ. You told me your wife passed away. I said, yes. I just wanted to ask you, you gave me thought to get married again. My teacher said to me, in my gathering, he was a tabi'i, in that gathering, he said, did so I said, وَمَنْ يُزَوِّجُنِي إِبْنَتَهُ وَأَنَا شَابٌ نَشَأَ يَتِيمًا وَعَاشَ فَقِيرًا فَأَنَا لَا أَمْلِكُ غَيْرَ دِرْهَمَيْنِ. Who's going to get married to me when I only got two dirhams? So my teacher, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, and you know who was Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib's wife? سِيَرُ أَعْلَمِ النُّبَلَىٰ. I read it myself. كَانَ أَعْلَمُ النَّاسِ بِحَدِيثِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ حَتَّى تَزَوَّجَ مِنْ إِبْنَةِ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib was an authority on hadith of Abu Huraira. He stayed with him for such a long period that Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu married his daughter to Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. So Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib's daughter was the granddaughter of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Can we just take the kids out a little bit, if that's not asking too much? May Allah reward you. Jazakallah khair. We love the children and we are very grateful to their presence. And sometimes if they need, we should just give them a little space out so that it doesn't compromise on others as well. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed us absolute love for children, and in no way do we show insensitivity, but nor do we want to compromise the address. So he said, I'm asking you because I want to marry. أنت تزوجني ابنتك بعد أن عرفت من أمري ما عرفت. I mean, you heard about me and you serious that you want to get me married to your daughter. He said, yes. فنحن إذا جاءنا من نرضى دينه وخلقه زوجنا. When a person comes to us who has good values and characters, and I was saying about that, my sister, it's a matter of developing character and value. If we have character and value in our life, then that shapes everything. There's this amazing quotation that I quote, and I believe it's a summary of bringing good values and a balance in our life. So there was Yahya bin Aktham al-Tamimi. Yahya bin Aktham al-Tamimi. He was Qadi al-Qubat. He passed away in 242. Mudabbir al-Mamlakati Mamun. He was the think tank behind the kingdom of Mamun. He was a very, very intelligent person. One day he met Sufyan bin Uyayna. Sufyan bin Uyayna was a great scholar. So Sufyan bin Uyayna was sad. So he asked Sufyan bin Uyayna, what makes you so sad? He said, Bulitu bi mujalasatika ba'da ashabi Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, I had the privilege of sitting with the Sahaba, and after the Sahaba passed away, I have to sit with you. So it's like, wow, that's a middle stem. You know what is it? Googly. And dusra. Like, I mean, that's like an anticlimax to tell someone, you're so sad, yeah, because I have to sit with you. I sat with the Sahaba before, and now it's like, so subhanAllah. He was so learned, he said, فَمُصِيبَةُ أَصْحَابِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَعْظَمُ مِنْ مُصِيبَةِ Then the pain of the Sahaba was more severe than yours, because after sitting with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, they had to sit with you. So he said, أَظُنُّ أَنَّ السُّلْطَانَ سَيَحْتَاجُ إِلَيْكَ Oh, you're a wise man. Soon the king will be knocking your door for wisdom. Soon the king will be knocking your door, and true to his word, Mamun then took him on board and made him a minister. So one person says, I asked him for four advices in life. Adab, adab. That will make you shine, my sister, wherever you are, whatever role you play, whatever position you are, you will shine, because your character will outshine everything. And that's the real. Physical beauty fades, it disappears, it ages, there's wrinkles, there's crinkles. But inner beauty shines across the time. If he's a child, he's sweet. If he's a youngster, he's adorable. If he's an adult, he's polite. If he's an old man, he's kind. And akhlaq will take everything on the day of the Yama. So he said, let me ask you a question. Kam akul, how much can I eat in life? He said, فوق الجوع دون الشبع. Eat so much to suppress your hunger, but never to your brim. Some person was asked, what is the cure after which there's no sickness? Not what is the sickness after which there's no cure. What is the cure after which there's no sickness? He said, Allah ta'akul illa ba'da al-ju' wa anta taqumu min al-ta'am wa anta tashtahi al-ta'am. He said, you only eat when you're hungry, and you get up while you're hungry. He said, that is a cure after which there's no illness. Okay, kam abhak. How much am I allowed to laugh in life? I mean, there's so much happiness, sadness. He said, "Ma yusfiru wajhuk wa la ya'lu sawtuk." Laugh so much that your face is bright and radiant, but not so loud that it's insensitive to those that are in pain. Laugh so much that your face is bright, it's cheerful, it's bubbly, it's good. We need that. But don't laugh so loud that those that are in pain, it's insensitive to them. Okay? Third question he asked him, Kam abki, how much should I cry in life? La tamulla min al-buka, there's no limit. There's no limit. Cry, cry, cry. Just cry, cry. Allah loves crying. At your sins, at the kindness of Allah, at the crisis of the ummah, at the happenings around you, at the youth. And cry. La tamulla min al-buka. Okay? Kam ukhfi amali. How much should I conceal and hide my good actions? He said, Mastata'at. To the best of your ability, conceal it. Don't let anyone know about it. Don't let anyone know about it. I one day had a very personal experience, and I said, this is so amazing, that sometimes you can end up making so much dua for someone, knowing not who you're making dua for because of his ikhlas. So we went out as a family to eat at a restaurant. So I've had this happened too many times in my life that we get in and somebody realizes I'm there, and he obviously takes care of the bill and he's gone. But I consciously try and avoid that and pay for my bill before we eat, you know, to avoid this, because we don't want to unnecessarily take people's favors. And if I do come to know, I make sure who's the person and just reach him and thank him. But this happened as a family about a year or two back, and we went out, and it was a night preceding Eid, and it was a lavish spread, and we just had a good time. I was returned from overseas. My kids were gone for Tarawih and they returned. And we had a good meal, and it was a handsome amount. And I got to pay, and he said, no, the bill has been taken care of. So I said, can you tell me who was the guy in the picture? He says, no, I just cannot tell you.
So I said, please tell me. He says, no, I cannot. I said, I'll tip you more if you tell me. Literally, this is what happened. He said, no. I said, khair, whatever it's meant. But it bothered me because I just wanted to, because Hakimul Ummah has written, it's important to know who has given you a gift so you know who to make dua for. Hakimul Ummah has written this in Adab al-Mu'ashara. You must find out, you came home and there's a gift, but who sent the gift? Because we want to make dua. We want to make dua for the person. Anyway, that night, tahajjud time, Allah is my witness, I cried and made dua for this person. I said, Ya Allah, kya ikhlas, kya ikhlas. Allah, you bless, you reward, you help, you assist, you inspire, you guide, you everything. Sometime later, we went back to that same restaurant, and I told the man, okay, like, time has moved on now, tell me, who paid for it? He said, it was your own son. And I hugged him, and I said, my boy, I don't know if I've ever made so much dua for you, knowing not I'm praying for my own son. Knowing not I'm praying for my own son. Allah is my witness. I prayed so much. I said, this is just the luck of Allah in your favor. Kam ukhfi amali? How much should I conceal my action? Mastata'ta. To the best of your ability. Don't. Then he said, kam udhil amali? How much can I tell people about my action? He said, ma yaqtadi bikal bar. Ma yaqtadi bikal bar. Only reveal so much of your good through which you can inspire others to follow. My son, I'm telling you this not to trumpet myself, but my time is coming close and I want this legacy to continue in our family. That is why I'm informing you today that I have been taking care of X amount of families or doing ABC, and I kept it a secret. I'm only sharing it with you because I want the legacy. I know of many people whom I'm aware of many good actions, and I say to them, you know, age is moving on, it's time you now share some of these wisdoms to your children to tell them this is the secret hand because of the barakah in this family, so that they can continue with it. So the son, the father said to the son, oh my son, watch your steps. And the boy said, dad, you better watch yours, I'm following you. Dad, you better watch your steps, I'm following you. So just to wrap up quickly here on this incident here, he said, نَحْنُ إِذَا جَاءَنَا مَنْ نَرْضَى دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ. If a person comes with good akhlaq, that is what we want. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, khataba, لما قام أبو الدرداء بدمشق, when أبو الدرداء رضي الله عنه came to Dimash, خطب معاوية بن أبي سفيان ابنته لابنه يزيد. معاوية رضي الله عنه sent a proposal for the daughter of أبو الدرداء, الدرداء. He said, my son Yazid, and معاوية رضي الله عنه was the governor, he had wealth, he had beauty, he was the brother-in-law of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he was the governor for a long time. For his son Yazid, he sent a proposal to the daughter of Abu Darda رضي الله عنه. فأبا وزوجها لرجل من عمة المسلمين. And Abu Darda said, no, sorry, I'm not interested. And then he got him married to a regular person, an average person. فصار ذلك في الناس. People started speaking, what a high profile proposal. He declined. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was a Sahabi, of course not his son, but a prominent, affluent, wealthy, elite family. And then he got married to a regular person. So people said, why did you choose to do this? He said, تحريتُ فيما صنعتُ صلاح أمر الدرداء. I gave a lot of thought to the well-being of my daughter if she had to marry into the home of such wealth. ما رأيكم إذا قام بين يديها العبيد يخدمونها صباحا ومساء يخطف لألاؤها البصر أين يصبح دينها يومئذ. I'm just worried if she had to enter into a home of absolute comfort, luxury, with servants around her, I don't know if the gaze of my daughter would be so dazzled that momentarily it would negatively impact her faith and her morality. So I opted for something simple and easy that does not potentially challenge or compromise the morality and the value system of my daughter. So to wrap up on this incident, he said, I'm asking you because I want you to get married to my daughter. He said, okay. ثم التفت إلى من كان قريبا منه, whoever was close, he said, come here. فلما أقبلوا عليه, when they came, صاروا عنده, they gathered there, and then حمد الله وأثنى على نبيه, he praised Allah and sent salutations, وعقد لي على ابنته وجعل مهرها درهمين اثنين. Then he praised Allah,
And then he performed the nikah, solemnized the marriage, and he said the dowry is 2 dirhams. فَقُمْتُ وَأَنَا لَا أَدْرِي مَا أَقُولُ مِنَ الدَّهْشَةِ وَالْفَرَحِ. I stood up, I don't know if I must cry or I must laugh. وَكُنْتُ يَوْمَئِذٍ صَائِمًا. And I was fasting. Wow, that's a son-in-law. That's someone, that's what's going to make the marriage, that's what's going to rescue it. A young boy came and asked his mom, Mom, when I know that I will find the right girl? And his mom said, just become the right boy and you'll find the right girl. Become the right boy, become the right boy, become the right person. I'm saying yourself, my sister, it's morals, it's values. That's going to rescue us. That's going to be create tolerance. Allah has made the life of a test. Allah is observing who's inflicting, who's receiving. This is the system of Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَفْرُقْ مُؤْمِنٌ مُؤْمِنَةً إِنْ كَرِهَ مِنْهَا خُلُقًا رَضِيَ مِنْهَا آخَرَ. Don't despise your partner. If there's one thing about him or her you dislike, there's 1,000 things that impress you. Focus on the positive and don't magnify the evil, provided it's not a crime. If it's a sin, it needs to be addressed. But if it's not a crime, then learn to be tolerant and focus on the positive side. And that's the teachings of the Quran. So he said, I returned home. فَنَسِيتُ سَوْمِي. I forgot I was fasting. And I said, وَيْحَكْ مِمَّنْ تَسْتَدِينَ وَمِمَّنْ تَتْلُبُ الْمَالَ. All that, I'm saying, how are you going to get married? How are you going to start your life? And I often say to the youth, my son just got married 2 weeks back, and I said to him, and I gave a talk there as well, and I mentioned this year, I said, you know what, back in the days when we got married, you needed to make a house and a home. And today, averagely, a couple is given a house, and all they've asked is to make a home, and that is also not being made. A home is where there's muhabba. A home is where you hang your boots. A home is where you come. Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Umar said, Inni la yu'jibuni an yakuna ar-rajulu fi baytihi mithla as-sabi. I love it when a man can come home and become a child. I love it when a man, the narration of Bidayah, Sayyidina Ali is on his force, Hassan gets on his back, and then the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is on his force, and Hassan radiallahu anhu gets on his back, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam walks him and he says, Oh, ni'mal markab. Ali radiallahu anhu walks in and he says, Oh Hassan, I like your car. I like your car. This is the Prophet of Allah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Why don't you compliment my passenger as well? Why don't you say something about my passenger? Inni la yu'jibuni. Sayyidina Ali said, Sayyidina Umar said, I love it. And yakuna rajulu fi ahlihi mithla sabi. He becomes a child. فَإِذَا بُغِيَ مِنْهُ حَاجَةً. Then when it's the need of time, then he crunches, then he becomes strong, then he can evolve, right? When the Roman emperor was coming, and then he met with a person who was a captive at the hands of the Muslims. So he said, you've stayed with the Muslims, tell me more about them. He said, these people were ruhbanum bil layl. They were monks by night, fursanum bin nahar, they were horsemen by day. La ya'kuluna min dhimmatihim illa bithaman. They will never take anything from anyone without paying for it. Yadkhuluna bisalam. They only enter and greet with salam and greeting. He said, la in sadaqtani la yarithunna ma tahta qadamayya. If what you say is the truth, it's very soon that they will rule over my throne as well. Yeah. Because with these qualities, they will conquer the world. So he said, I came home. And then I udhina lil maghrib, the adhan of maghrib was called out. Sallaytu al maktuba, I performed my salah. Ma in jalastu in tanawiltu luqmatan aw luqmatayn. I sat, I took a morsel or two, and there was a knock on the door. Qultu man at-tariq? I said, who's at the door? He said, Sa'id. Laqad marra bi khatiri kullu insanin ismuhu Sa'idun a'rifuhu illa Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab. I thought he's going to be a regular Sa'id, a casual Sa'id, besides Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab. وذلك لأنه لم يرى منذ 40 سنة إلا بين بيته وبين المسجد. For the last 40 years, the man was not seen anywhere but masjid and home. ففتحت الباب, I opened, فإذا بي أمام سعيد. Lo and behold, I see Sa'id ibn al-Musayyab. So I said, oh, I'm sure now he's got second thoughts on the nikah he made with his daughter to me. Probably he went home and you know what, there was a difference of opinion. So I said, tafaddal, come in. He said, kalla, no. Wa innama ji'tu li amrin. I've come to just discuss something. So I said, then say it. He said, inna ibnati asbahat zawjatan laka bi shar'i Allahi mundhul ghadad. Wa ana akrahu an tabita wahdak. Wa tabita hiya wahdaha. As of this morning, my daughter has become your legal spouse. And you are alone and she's alone. What's the need to prolong the whole thing? So I said, let me bring her there so that you can start your marriage and start your life. I said, have you brought her? He said, yes. فَنَظَرْتُ فَإِذَا هِيَ قَائِمَةٌ بِطُولِهَا. And next best thing, she was there and she entered. And the narration continues, and Allah blessed him. This was the granddaughter of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, married to Abu Wada'a. I'm saying, my sister, our deen is good, our deen is wholesome, our teachings are valuable. The only thing that can bring discipline into our life is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm answerable of every engagement, how I behave with my husband, with my spouse, with my children, with every interaction, I'm answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah to put muhabba in our marriage. See, every other type of things, there are certain things that have a worldly attachment, and there are certain things that might have a worldly and a spiritual. The ulama say loving your partner has a deeny connotation. So we've been told, don't attach yourself to the world. But taking active measures to love your partner is deen. The ulama have mentioned this is not part of dunya. The Prophet ﷺ used to go out of his way. كَانَ يَتَتَبَّعُ مَوْضِعَ فِيَّ. Aisha radiallahu anha said, we would eat from this glass, right? And then he would insist on the same glass and insist on putting his lips where my lips were. Right. Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقبل إحدى نسائه وهو صائم ثم تضحك. He sallallahu alayhi wasallam would be fasting, and while fasting, he would kiss one of his spouses, and then she would blush, and that means it was her. The narration of Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Aisha radiallahu anha said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يتكئ في حجري فيقرأ القرآن وأنا جنوب. That Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you say I got to do tilawat. It's my time for my mamulat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the narration says, Aisha radiallahu anha mentions, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to come and read his Quran in Aisha's lap radiallahu anha. And this would be in that part of the month where she was experiencing her cycle. Right? Imam Nawawi even makes istidlal of jawazu qira'atil Quran biqurbin najasa. Right, academic language, you can understand it, yeah, whatever. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would imagine, you said, like, today my tilawat is not in the masjid, in my wife's lap. Wow, that was the teachings of our Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. To you, my sister, I say, make your husband the biggest baby, pamper him. A man loves to be pampered. A man loves to be pampered. Your son, your daughter, pamper them afterwards. When he's sick, ooh, make it sound he's very sick. Come and wrap around him. Give him, massage him, welcome him, smile at him, make him feel a king. You are a queen whether you make him a king or not. You are a queen. That's the reality, right? See, Allah has given, if you look at the text of the Quran, Allah has given amazing expression. You might be the owner of the house, but in the context of talaq, the ulama say that when you give talaq, and by the way, this is in Tafsir al-Qushayri, I read it myself. Why after three talaqs is the process so stringent that for a woman to come back to her husband, she has to get married to someone else? فَإِن طَلَّقَهَا فَلَا تَحِلُّ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدُ حَتَّى تَنْكِحَ زَوْجًا غَيْرًا. Why is it so challenging? The reason is not to impose on a woman. Every man naturally, by his very instinct, cannot imagine his wife with someone else. This is how we all love, we care, we protect. It's my daughter, it's my mother, it's my sister, it's my wife. Right? So a man would averagely, commonly, naturally dread losing his partner because he loves her, he's protective. That's my honor and my respect. So Allah says, if you're going to give her three talaqs, then you'll have to deal with that which you dread. So the aim of this tedious process is to block you from giving three talaqs and not to punish her. I don't know if anybody's understanding what I'm saying. You say, why is such a tedious and cumbersome process? It's to block you to think twice, to think thrice. Apply your mind, don't dare do this. What is this talaq just issuing it? It's not anything that you just go on a rampage and you just abuse this here. And this constant threat of it, this is not it. So Allah says in the context of a woman, when talaq takes place, in Surah Talaq, وَأَحْسُ الْعِدَّةِ لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنَّ وَلَا يَخْرُجْنَ. The ulama say something very amazing. It's your house, you own it. But Allah didn't say, لَا تُخْرِجُوهُنَّ مِنْ بُيُوتِكُمْ. Allah said, مِنْ بُيُوتِهِنْ. Allah said, don't take them out of their houses. That means give her the respect and the qarar and the istiqrar that it's her house as well. Legally, lawfully, the title deeds might be on your house and that's a separate thing. But give her that respect and dignity. My brother, you give her that dignity. My sister, you make your husband a king. You make him a baby. You pamper him. You acknowledge him. You love him. You respect him. You find the right time to speak to him. The Prophet ﷺ came and he seen Ruqayya massaging the head of Uthman radiallahu anhu. He said, my daughter, keep on massaging. That is your Jannah. Ruqayya radiallahu anhu. Here you say, wait, you didn't do any more attention there. I get the headache. No, massage. Give him the attention. The Prophet of Allah is returning from a campaign and an expedition. Returning from a campaign, not an environment like this today. Let's go into Medina. No. Let's stay outside. Why? Send one child into Medina and tell the woman to doll up. Tell the woman to dress up. Tell them to attire themselves. This is a hadith. لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِتَ الشَّقِتَ لِكَيْ تَمْتَشِتَ الشَّقِتَ. Tell her, no, dress up, doll up, prepare yourself. Right? There's a friend of mine in Canada. So Islam teaches us that look at the beauty of Islam. We live in a society where immorality, promiscuity is the order of the day. Right? And it's important that we have healthy, close bedroom lives. And respectfully, modestly, we need to be close and connected. Because so many arguments can be dissolved by one healthy bedroom life. It just falls apart. Allah says, وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَىٰ بَعْضٍ. Marriage is such a thing where you're intimate, you're close. You are closer to your partner on day one than you were to your parents in your whole life. Is this not a proof of Allah's existence? You never get close to your sibling to that extent as you get to your spouse on day one, and it's the first time you meet. Right? And many foolish men on that first day want to vomit all their past history. Right? That's why I said many foolish men. Because it comes back to what? Tame chto tame mane kehlo ke tame amuta? Tame mane kehlo? Oh, what did I say here? Anyway, so the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're outside and you're attracted, come home. Look at the psychology of Islam. Islam is not driving you out of the home. Islam is saying, come back and make your home happen. Make it happen at home. Right? So if you're attracted, and it's human nature you're attracted, then give your spouse. And equally, وَلَهُنَّ مِثْلُ الَّذِي عَلَيْهِنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ عَبْدُ الْأَبْنِ عَبَّاسِ. The father of Tafsir said, I dress up for my wife because I want her to dress up for me. So it's both sides. It's not that I want you to dress up like this and you don't attire yourself. No, both sides. You need to be young, you need to be looking good. I need to compliment my wife so much and she needs to compliment me so much that when others compliment her, she feels offended. You know what, I'm married, back off. I don't like that. But if I don't give it to her, she'll welcome that compliments because she's hungry and empty and there's a vacuum. If I praise her food, she won't be thirsty to hear it from others. But if I don't, when somebody else says, her mind will run in 10 different directions. Is somebody, you know what, reaching out to me or is he just purely complimenting me? Because I'm not giving that mutual complimentation to each other. Compliment each other. That's the secret of sustaining a relation. Every day, praise one another and let each child praise. The best thing you can do for your children is love their mother. And the best thing you can do, my sister, is love their father. And impress the love of one parent into the mind of the child. As a father, listen, that's your mother. As a mother, hey, listen, that's your father. That's the way we're going to move together. But if they're siding up and they're isolating and marginalizing one, we're creating groups and factions within our own. So anyway, the Prophet ﷺ said, if you're attracted, come home. Your wife has nothing less. So this brother said, I came home. And it's not like, I was just driving. And obviously, I was confronted and exposed. The Prophet ﷺ said, drop your case. I came home and then I told my spouse that, we need to meet in privacy. So she's like, it's an odd time. So now he's like, oh, what do I say? I'm like, you know, the Prophet ﷺ said, he said, instead of that, she wants to know who I see. Now it became a whole new feud and argument. I said, it wasn't anyone in particular. I was just outside. This is the thing. And that is why I've been told and encouraged, motivated to come home. And this is the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I last comments and I conclude on this here. Remember one thing, my sister. If you come home to a healthy house, husband and wife and children,
It's the only thing in my limited understanding that can charge everyone's battery to optimum, that everyone can go outside in the world and be productive humans. But if the home is in wreck and in shambles and in tatters, everything else can be working well for you. You could be healthy, wealthy, booming economy, prosperous life, but you're coming home to a broken home. The collective prosperity won't be able to make you strong enough to deal with the discord at home. But a healthy home will make you strong enough to be resilient wherever you are in all the roles you play. So this is the first garden we need to look after. These are the first stray shrubs we need to prune. This is the first place we need to water, because the prosperity of this orchard contributes to the growth of all the branches of life. May Allah protect us all. May Allah guide our young daughters that have graduated, that are of marriageable age, that will be entering new homes, those that are married. Let us work towards our marriage. Let us do things to enhance, to better, to increase, to bring happiness and mahabba, because this is part of our deen. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، ونعوذ بك من كل شر ما استعاذك منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين.